Hello, and welcome back to the Assembly Inclusion Podcast. I'm very lucky today to be joined by two guests. I'm here with Aubrey Therrien, the Executive Artistic Director of Epic Players, and Sandy Gladstone Karp, an actor from Epic Players. So Aubrey and Sandy, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We're so excited.
And I'm so excited to get started talking about Epic Players. I know it's been around since 2016, but can you speak to the inspiration for how this organization got started?
Epic got started in 2016. As you said, I have always worked in the disabled community. It is something that's important to me. My grandmother had a disability. My mother was a teacher for students with disabilities. And I was an actor for a long time. And when I was an actor, I would go home during breaks from tour and work with my mom's students. And we would write play workshops based on whatever book they were reading. And we would see such a transformation in those students, because they had people believing in them and believing that they could memorize lines and get up and do blocking and take responsibility and really be seen. And that was transferable into the classroom, you know, after I left. So it's something I always believed in, the power of theater, and it's made me reconnect with what I love about the arts. I think sometimes the arts actually can be like super lonely and you feel super self-involved, but when you realize the power it has to help others and bring out the best in others and have others believe in themselves, you find a new reconnection with it. And so that's why I did start Epic. I was working with some other theater groups that were doing similar things, but maybe not on the level that Epic was and now is doing it, which is not only providing these social communities that are supportive and positive, but giving our artists who maybe happen to be born with a disability or born autistic or neurodivergent, but also are extremely talented, a career path in this and a path to explore this and saying like, yeah, you can do this. If you want to do this every day, sure. We're going to figure out how to make that happen, how to provide you free training to make that happen, and how to pay you so you can live.
I think that's a really great mission. And I think that's why I was so drawn to the organization in general. I appreciated that it's providing that pathway toward a career and providing that empowerment at the same time. I wanted to dive into the logistics of the program, but before I do that, Sandy, I did want to ask you about your background. So how did you get started in acting and in theater, and how did you get involved with Epic Players?
So to answer the first question about how I first got into acting, when I was a little girl, I learned that the stories came to life through actors on the stage or in the movie, that the stuff you see on the screen isn't actually real. And then it was like, wait a minute, I want to actually do that. And my first acting experience was in a sixth grade school play, where I was a card in Alice in Wonderland. Anyway, I first heard about Epic through some friends who joined Epic after being part of Action Play. And I figured maybe I should also join Epic.
I appreciate that it started from when you were young and that really kind of kicked you off into theater, and that you're still pursuing it now with Epic Players. I think that's really incredible. And we're going to get talking to later about some of your current roles you have coming up. I'm excited to talk about that. But before we dive into that, I did want to talk about, how can someone get involved with Epic Players as an actor or performer? Is there a specific process that is required to get involved?
I'm happy to talk about that. And maybe Sandy can talk about your experience joining Epic and how you auditioned. But we audition all of our players. So people really find out about us through word of mouth, and a lot of times from seeing our shows. A lot of times we have community members, neurodiverse community members, who see our shows and go, whoa, I don't see anybody else doing this, and I want to be a part of it right now. So they reach out to us and they speak to our program assistant, Alex, who talks to them about what Epic is, what we offer, what you can expect from Epic. Then we do ask everybody to either see a performance or shadow a class, because Epic is different from every other group. I mean, we're very clear. We're not a drama therapy group, we're a theater company. We do absolutely have supports and advocates and accessibility pathways that we provide all of our players very individually, but we are different from, I would say, you know, a drama therapy group or even just a theater arts class. And that might not be for everybody. So we do ask people to come see the class and see if they like it, if they vibe with our other members and our teaching artists and really our method. Once they do that, they say, okay, yep, this is for me. I want to move forward. We set up auditions. We have auditions twice a year, which may be going down to once a year just because we have a lot of demand. But we set up auditions once a year. They'll come in and they will do one short speech or monologue for 1 minute, or if they identify as a singer, 32 bar cut of a song with accompaniment if they have it. And then we'll do a short interview process and talk about why you want to join EPIC, what your goals are, how do you think EPIC could help you, what do you want to work on, etc. What support needs do you have? And really this process is set up because A, it lets us know if this person is ready to go through this process. We know they want to be a part of this company and we know that they want to be, you know, on stage or behind the scenes. And B, you know, they can follow directions. They're ready to do it. They're ready to kind of check off everything we said. And C, if they need help, they're okay with asking for support, which is also something we want people to feel comfortable with. We want to show everybody that we believe in them. I think too often times people with disabilities are infantilized and we don't do that at EPIC. It's important for our members and our future members to know that we believe in them and we believe that they're going to do a great job at their auditions. So once people audition, we will see if they kind of checked off all of those. Did you prepare? Did you ask questions? Do you really want to be here? It's not really about skill level. It's, do you really want to be here? Do you want to focus on? Do you need help? And if so, we invite them into the company and they have full access to all of our free classes and all of our audition opportunities.
Well, that's really awesome. So Sandy, you went through that audition experience. What was that like when you were preparing to audition for EPIC Players?
Let's see. I did need a little bit of help picking out the song, but was actually able to do it well. Of course, the song I picked out required both singing and acting skills because it required an accent.
Oh, so that's even more challenging. What song was it, if you don't mind me asking?
It was Can't Say No from Oklahoma.
Oh, that's a good one. I appreciate the whole audition process plus the shadowing. I think it's nice that not only are you having the, you know, the traditional audition that comes with joining a theater company, but then also the opportunity to check out the classes and the people. And I think, Aubrey, you had said vibe specifically beforehand. I think that's a really nice touch.
And then we also allow them, you know, if they want to come, we have a Wednesday class, which is our EPIC Plays community class. So while they're waiting for the audition, if they want to just keep coming to that class and see if, again, this is truly for them, start making relationships, building, that is totally open to new members as well.
I really like that component of it. So I did want to ask, how are the programs structured? You had mentioned there was that once a week Wednesday class. Are actors meeting once a week? Is it multiple times per week? Does it vary depending on which role they have within a production?
Yeah, that's a great question. Also, I just wanted to mention Sandy killed at her audition. She was awesome and totally prepared and totally dedicated. And I think in costume and brought props. Shows Sandy's commitment, which definitely now that we've gotten to know Sandy, is probably one of the most committed actors I've ever met. So I'm super excited that Sandy is a part of EPIC. And to answer your question, EPIC is a bit of a choose your own adventure type of organization. We're a very company driven theater company. We don't pick shows without our company members' opinions and thoughts in that process. We have a company vote every year on what we're going to do next season. We have so many different artists that identify as so many different parts of the arts, you know, writers, directors, actors, singers, dancers, behind the stage folks. So we want to build opportunities for all of those things. And that's why I say it's kind of a pick your own adventure, because all of our classes are not for everyone. All of our shows are not for everyone, you know, and you might want to do something different. But in terms of structure, we have about 3 to 4 classes per week that we offer in the performing arts and in some of our backstage and writing modalities that people can choose to take. We run on a trimester basis. So people will register for that class, they'll get in that class. Those classes are hybrid, so they're virtual and in-person classes. We also do 2 main stage shows a year, which people audition for, and some don't. Some, you know, they're not main stage people, they're cabaret people. So they'll audition for our cabarets. We do 2 musical cabarets this year, one at Joe's Pub, The Public, and one at 54 Below, which was awesome. Next year we'll be at Joe's Pub for 4 cabarets. We're doubling our cabaret offerings because we have such a high interest, which is so exciting. And then we also do a devised show called The Epic Underground. And that's for our stand-up comedians, our writers, or people who really want to tell their own stories. And we did that this year at The Stand in New York. And then we're also working on building out our original playwriting component of Epic. And that will culminate this summer in a neurodiverse theater festival that we're hosting this summer.
There's so many different options then that actors, or if you are a backstage person or a writer, can choose. I like that there's so many different avenues, and you don't have to be involved with necessarily all of them, but you could pick and choose what works for your strengths and interests. That's something else I haven't seen either. Usually it's, you know, I see that theater companies are doing like a main stage production and then that's it. But I like that there are so many different avenues for the performers and for everybody who's involved in Epic Players.
And we love to do that and we want to do that, but it's also out of kind of necessity. We have over 80 people in our company. We want everybody to be, you know, active and involved and to make an adventure for everyone. So there's a lot of opportunities going on, which is great. Sandy, what's your favorite thing to do so far?
Definitely the singing.
Yeah. You did the 54 Below cabaret, right?
Yep.
What was your favorite number?
Oh, good question. To watch or to perform?
Both. Mm-hmm. Tell me one to watch, one to perform.
Let's see. My favorite one to perform was definitely What Is This Feeling from Wicked with Jordan.
That sounds amazing. That sounds like it would be incredible.
It was super fun. And what was your favorite one to watch?
Let's see. My favorite one to watch. Let's see. I think it's a tie between Bad Idea and Apex Predator.
Oh, agreed.
Those are 2 solid choices.
They were really solid numbers. We had an awesome cabaret. I will send you a video of it, Katie.
I was going to ask if there was a video recording anywhere, because I would love to see all those performances. They sound like they would be really good.
There is, and it was fantastic. And we worked with a lot of members of the Broadway community on that, who are just so generous and kind and caring. It was wonderful.
That's really amazing. Wow. I did want to ask about, specifically, I had read on your website that there are specific neurodiverse teaching techniques and cultural aspects that are built into Epic Players itself. So I did want to know how those techniques are considered when you're planning workshops and for instruction to make sure that everyone is, you know, building on their strengths and feeling empowered within the workshops.
Epic prides itself on being really individualized. So we know that what works for one actor might not work for the other actor. So that's something that we're always bringing to our classes, our rehearsals, our workshops. We are very clear in how we communicate, very specific, but we also know somebody may need a different level of support. And because of that, our classrooms are staffed with several mentors in addition to our teaching artists. So our mentors are other actors in the community. They could be neurotypical, they could be neurodiverse, but they're leaders within the community that are helping to model behavior, that are being proactive to see who might need a bit more support than somebody else, or who might need more attention, or who needs to shine that day. You know, how do we give somebody their moment? So we're very in tune and individualized. And I think that is very unique to our process. Another thing that we do is create space and time. We create an opportunity for our actors to very clearly communicate their support needs with us. And if we can see there is a support need that maybe hasn't been communicated, we're very proactive about finding that and finding that space. We also work on an adaptive schedule. I hesitate to talk about this sometimes because I do not want to feed into that stereotype that working with neurodivergent or disabled actors, you need more time and oh, the production needs more time. That is not it. That is not the reason. But we are specifically a teaching theater company, so we want to take a bit more time to make sure our actors are thoroughly understanding and comprehending the process, having fun, are able to ask for supports, and also don't have to cut out the other things in their life that they maybe have worked really hard to get. So instead of us saying like, that's it, you have to dedicate 6 days a week to us for 6 weeks to rehearse the show, we'll say, you know, we're going to start with 2 days a week of rehearsals, then build to three, then build to four over more of a 4 month process.
That's really great with having that flexibility and all those supports built in. I'm sure that's beneficial for everyone to also be able to do the things that they would normally do within their lives, but still have those lessons and instructional periods and time to practice. I was going to ask Sandy, what do you think has been the most beneficial for you as an actor in terms of working with Epic Players?
I definitely think getting some extra help with learning my lines from my mentor advocate.
You just reminded me, Sandy, about that. That is pretty unique program we have. We have our advocate program. So in addition to mentors in each class, every single member who starts with Epic is paired one-on-one with their mentor, who is like their Epic guide. They meet once a week. They have a session a week where they can go over lines, like Sandy said, help with homework, decide on what classes they want to register, prepare for auditions. We're always getting casting notices. We act as agents and managers in that way. So I think that is a pretty unique support that I totally forgot about, Sandy. So thank you for reminding me.
I'm sure that's really helpful. I'm not as experienced in theater as either of you. I only had the middle school theater experience, but learning the lines is such a challenge. So it's great that you have that support for somebody to read back and forth with to practice.
And who's your advocate, Sandy?
During this semester, my mentor slash advocate is Michael.
Awesome.
I'm glad you guys can work on things.
And you change mentors out then every year or so? Is that how it would typically work?
Typically, we keep the same mentors, but some mentors have to like move on to something else, or we have a conversation. We say, you know what? I don't know if this mentor is the best pairing for this player. Maybe we need to switch it up a bit.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm.
My previous mentor was Alexander Michael Reeves.
Who's also great.
Well, I love the mentor component. I think that's so great to have that community building. That's so nice to have everybody kind of working together to make sure everybody feels successful and get everybody to where they need to go for performances and auditions and things like that. I know that Into the Woods is coming, right? Correct my dates if I'm wrong, but is it June 8th through June 18th? Did I get that right? Oh, I got it right.
Yep.
Okay, good. So is that the second show for this year?
That is our second main stage show. We did Tartuffe in the fall. We had another fall cabaret. We did our underground show. We just completed our spring cabaret. And now we have Into the Woods on June 8th through 18th.
That's such a great show. And Sandy, you're in it, correct? What role do you have?
So my main role is Jack's mother. Apparently, I have also been chosen to understudy for the baker's wife.
Oh, wow. Those are two really important roles in Into the Woods. And that's a big undertaking to have to be both. That's really impressive.
Sandy can do it.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm super confident in Sandy's skills. I believe Sandy has memorized almost everyone's line in the show already. So I think understudying the baker's wife will be no big deal.
You could do a one-woman show of the entire show then.
Yeah, like I actually recently recited the entire prologue in the shower yesterday.
Oh, you're committed to it. I love it. That's great. So how have you been preparing for both your regular role and for your understudy role? Just going over the lines, or is there anything else you've been doing to kind of practice?
Definitely going over the lines, listening to different adaptations of the musical, since now there are 3 albums of Into the Woods, the original Bernadette Peters, Chip Sien, and Joanna Gleason. Then there's the Disney one with Meryl Streep, James Corden, Emily Blunt, Anna Kendrick, Johnny Depp. And then there's the new one with Sarah Bareilles, Patina Miller, and Brian D'Arcy James, and Philip Asu is in it. So now I have three different versions to listen to, and some of them have parts that the others leave out, or some of them have different insights on the situation.
There are so many options that you can pull from, that so many different nuances to the parts and things like that.
It also helps that I have a major interest in classic fairy tales.
I'm sure that helps definitely with learning the parts and preparing for your character.
And what do you think about your character? Tell me who your Jack's mom is.
She's definitely conflicted as well as desperate at times. So it gets very frustrating when her son isn't entirely there.
That makes sense.
And sometimes even scary. Scary. And for those who say they want a fairy tale life, a lot of people don't always know that a fairy tale could just as easily turn into a ghost story, and not all of them end with happily ever after.
I think that's going to be a great portrayal. I'm really excited, and I'll make sure, I'll say it again at the end of the episode, but I'll include a link in the show notes for any of our listeners who are in the area and maybe want to check out the show. I'll make sure to include the link to that in the show notes so everybody can just immediately go there as they're listening. I did want to ask, from the education side, you talked about how there's different workshops and how you work with the players to figure out what types of workshops to offer each trimester. So what have been some examples of some workshops that have been done in the past, and like what are some that you have upcoming?
Well, we recently just did our first ASL class, so American Sign Language. We have our first deaf company member joined us this year, who's actually in Into the Woods, which is going to be super cool. And a lot of our players, you know, who maybe do not speak ASL, really want to, because we all want to communicate together. So there was just so high of a demand for this class. We had to offer two different sections, which was great. In the past, we've done classes on puppetry, we've done design classes, we've done improvisation classes, scene study. We're having another session of scene study coming up, and another session of improv. We've done arts careers classes to learn how to become an arts administrator, if that's what you're interested in. Playwriting classes, songwriting classes, just voice method classes, musical theory classes. We have a really popular class that we offer once a month called Musical Masterclass, where we partner with a member of the Broadway community who comes and shares their experiences for the first half of class and answers questions. And the second half of class listens to our players perform and gives feedback, which is awesome. And that's hosted by Stephanie Torrens, who is a Broadway actress. She was in Wicked and Waitress. And I'm trying to think, any other classes I'm missing, Sandy?
Let's see. Epic Plays, Improv, Musical Masterclass, Playwriting.
Voiceover. We've done several voiceover classes that are super popular as well. You name it, we've done it.
There's a lot of variety in there. There's a lot of opportunities then for people to really explore different areas of theater, because there are so many different options available. And I like the fact that it's consistently changing every trimester based on people's interests. That's something I feel like is really, really special, because again, so often you see programming and it's fairly consistent, you know, year after year, but I like that Epic Players is always mixing it up and doing something different. I did want to ask, so what do, and this is really for both of you, but so what do you think have been the biggest successes of Epic Players so far?
Do you have any personal successes?
Yep.
For you, Sandy?
Let's see, personal successes. I mean, getting into the woods seems like a major accomplishment.
Yeah.
It was pretty competitive, right? There were over 60 people auditioned.
Yeah.
I would say that's a pretty good personal success. You won that part out from a lot of people then.
That's a pretty major part. Yeah, I would think that's a huge success. And that's your first show with us, right?
Yeah, or second if the Spring Cabaret counts, or...
Yeah, the first main stage show. And then for me, I mean, we have so many different successes in so many different areas. It shows that there really is a need for our programs and that they are successful because more people keep wanting to join, which is wonderful. And I hope the success will be that we can sustain that and have people support it to make our programs happen. All of our programs are free and all of our performances are paid. So that's super important to us. We've been able to increase our artist pay. We've quadrupled since we've started, which is wonderful. And now I think we're seeing some successes in getting our actors work. I mean, that's super important to us, getting our actors work, not only in Epic, but outside of Epic. Many films and TV shows and theaters reach out to us to help with casting because we do act as those managers and agents for those actors. And we've recently had an actor cast on CBS Blue Bloods as a special guest star. Now he has a SAG card. We have people called in all the time for things, for network television, for Disney, for movies. We're helping cast two feature films right now. We have an actor who auditioned and won a role in a show that is about to be on Broadway. He just got his Equity card. It's something we're really happy to see start happening. You know, the proof is in the pudding. I'm so happy to see that our actors are getting the work and recognition they deserve.
That's really amazing. I know you had mentioned before that, like, that's kind of the goal is to get them to have careers in theater and, you know, in television and things like that. So it's great that the training in Epic has prepared them and supported them to get those positions in the future. I know you had mentioned paying the actors. I think that's really phenomenal. So many programs are not. So I like the fact that they are paid working actors at this point.
Yeah, that's really important to us. When we also want to model that behavior, you know, we want to show other people like, yeah, you can do it. And now more and more, I'm starting to see other organizations that do that too, which is great.
It's great that you were the model for that. So my last question is about the projected future, whether it's personal future, like Sandy, where do you see yourself in the next couple of years with acting? Or the future of Epic Players overall for you, Aubrey?
I definitely want to have my skills better than they are now. What else? Part of me is thinking I'll just cross that bridge when I get there because the future is entirely unpredictable unless you happen to be a prophet. And as far as I know, none of the characters in Into the Woods are prophets, except for maybe the narrator.
Maybe the mysterious man. A little bit. I think for me, I mean, I want to see Epic growing and thriving and sustainable and, you know, growing our capacity, offering more performance opportunities. I would really love us to have our space, a theater where we can just keep producing and keep doing work. I also see us expanding to other cities. You know, everybody, especially during the pandemic, has come to us and said, you know, why can't there be an Epic in my hometown? So we're exploring ways in which that could possibly happen in the future. So everything's accessible. I think in the long run overall, I would love to see every theater be a neurodiverse theater company. And I would like that to be the norm, as it well should.
Definitely. Oh, it should. And I appreciate that. That work is getting started here. And then hopefully other theater companies will pick up and realize that they should be doing the same thing. And I appreciate all the work that's being done.
I would love to just add a little bit more about Into the Woods.
That's a perfect segue.
Yeah. Great. We've been putting off the show for 2 years because of COVID. You know, we had to cancel because of COVID. And then when we were about to do it again, the City Center show went up. So it's been pushed back and pushed back. We're finally doing it and everyone is all a flutter. It's been a wonderful process so far. And it's our most inclusive production to date, which we're very proud of. And we hope people come out. We have actors of all walks of life, all different identities and experiences. We're working with neurodivergent actors, blind actors, deaf actors. Our music director is blind and brilliant and is memorizing the entire Sondheim score of Into the Woods, which I can't even truly fathom, except wow. Sandy probably can memorize it too. But for me, I mean, it's bananas. We have so many different artists sharing the stage together and creating this community, and I think it's going to be really special. And we're also creating access for our audiences as well. We'll have CART captioning services that was provided, you know, with assistance from the Theater Development Fund and their TAP grant. And then we're also going to have some descriptors there for our blind audience members, as well as we have sensory toys, quiet areas, all of our performances are relaxed performances. So I think it's going to be a really inclusive community on and off stage.
I was going to ask about the inclusion component for the audience members as well. I think that's really great that also the audience has that opportunity as well. That is really exciting. And I'm going to make sure again to say for our listeners that there will be a link for the tickets if you want to check out Into the Woods, which you definitely should if you are in the area. That sounds amazing. And I'm trying to match up my schedule right now to see if I have a day off that I can go during that, yes. that time off. I would love to go. So that link will be in the show notes to everybody. And I think it sounds like it's going to be amazing. And Sandy, it sounds like you are super prepared and ready to take on this role. So I think everybody should come to see you and the rest of your castmates perform. So definitely check that out. And I want to thank you both so much, Sandy and Aubrey, for sharing about your experiences with Epic Players and all of the work that you've both been doing. I really appreciate you taking the time to share with us today.
Thank you so much for having us. This has been lovely. And I hope you do get to see the show.